listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
It is Bears Weekly Overtime here on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, you can watch the show as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, or also check us out on YouTube, youtube.com, search ESPN Chicago, and you will not only get to watch the show, but anything that you missed from the show or any sort of clips, you'll find those on YouTube as well. So be sure to subscribe to us on our ESPN Chicago YouTube channel. 312-332-3776. We're talking about the Bears schedule release. Tyler Aki and Shane Norling with you until 10 o'clock tonight right here on the new home for the Chicago Bears. It feels good. We got a little football adrenaline going.
Live and local overtime. Yeah. I'm loving it, dude. The schedule game we're about to play, just talking Bears football with something tangible. It's been so much, like, in the lead up to the draft, it's a lot of speculation. Now we're kind of back in speculation season, but It's nice when you just have the tangible item of the schedule or whatever it is in front of you, and we can talk some football.
Johnny is in Evanston. What's up, Johnny? Hello, Johnny.
Johnny!
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Johnny?
So, not to take you guys off track, I'm just thinking, you know, I don't think the Bears are going to be very competitive this year. I'm going to enjoy watching them, but I'm kind of more interested in how strong the Panthers' schedule is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's certainly a conversation worth having, Johnny, and appreciate the phone call there. So the Panthers, again, they play in the NFC South, so that is obviously gonna help you pad. You're gonna fall into a couple wins, as every NFL team does.
It's an easy division,
right? But the Carolina Panthers have the sixth easiest schedule in the NFL based off of 2023 strength of schedule metrics, which takes into account the records of the teams from last season. And obviously there's a lot of changes that take place, but for what it's worth here, they have the sixth easiest schedule in the NFL.
I'm looking at it now. I mean, the early slate at Atlanta, New Orleans, at Seattle. At Seattle's a tough spot. Minnesota's a tough spot. At Detroit's tough. At Miami's tough. The start of this schedule is not easy. And what you kind of have to hope for if you're a Bears fan is that the start of the year goes very, very poorly for the Panthers. And then they come back from the bye, and you get Houston and Indianapolis, who should be terrible, but then Chicago, coin flip probably, Dallas, Tennessee. There's a lot of bad games here. There's also a lot of games that I don't necessarily think that the Panthers can win. And if things go really south to start the year, obviously they're not going to try to be terrible because they don't own their first round pick. We do. But that's kind of what you have to hope for, is that things start badly and they just, this is a lost season, things start to really go sideways, and everything builds toward the following year. The other thing, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds in the Panthers' schedule, because honestly, if you just look historically, teams that trade up to get a quarterback typically don't do well in that quarterback's rookie year.
I mean, teams that just in general draft a quarterback in the first round as well, it's usually a struggle, especially if that quarterback is drafted inside the top 10, 15 picks.
But I think in the last decade, it's like the Eagles traded up to get Wentz, and that was the high watermark. They won 7. The Rams went up to get Goff. I think they only won 5. I think the Bears went up to get Mitch and won 4 or 5. It's tough. And that's, like, I don't see the Panthers being the team that's going to buck that trend. I think anytime you're trading up to get a quarterback like Bryce Young, who is small, he might need to be broken in a little bit.
Right.
Injuries
certainly are on the table with Bryce Young, too.
I think that the Panthers, like, when you look at the win totals, too, I think they're about the same as the Bears. They're getting a huge, huge buff off of playing in the division that they play in. They're going to play, what is it, 6 divisional games against awful teams.
Right.
So I think the Panthers are also awful. I wouldn't sweat their easy schedule too much, because I think they're a bad team.
Right. But even, like, among the bad within that division there, I'd still probably put them as, what, the third team in that division? I think the Saints are probably one. the Falcons and the Falcons and the Panthers sort of feel like a toss up for the 2-3, and then I think pretty easily the Bucks are number 4.
I'm looking at my sheet where I have my 32 team power rankings. Yeah, I have New Orleans would be 1, Atlanta would be 2, Carolina 3, and Tampa a distant 4th.
Yeah, I think that's pretty easy to kind of suss out there with this Carolina team. Listen, they're going to stumble into some wins because A, that's the NFL, and B, that's the division they play in. But also, when they get outside of the division, they're going to have a lot of challenges there, I'd imagine, heading into this season. 312-332-3776. Joey is in Lockport. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, that guy, whatever, that guy from Des Plaines. And I'm not a Justin Fields guy.
That guy
at all,
from Des Plaines.
Whatever that guy is. Saying Baker Mayfield, are you kidding me? I think I could throw better than him, and I'm 40 freaking 5. Jeez.
Well, if you have two shoulders, you're doing better than Baker was for the better part of the last 2 years.
Holy moly. But my question is, I know everybody, you know, picks, you know, whatever their easiest schedule, this schedule, whatever schedule is. My thing is they still do not have a pass rush. They didn't, you know, and I get it. You can't fill all the holes from a team that's going 3-14. But, yeah, your defensive interior line's better. Your linebackers are better. And your secondary's hopefully good with, you know, the kid they got from Miami and with Brisker and Gordon. But my thing is, who can they get now to be your edge rushers to maybe get some sacks? Because he only had 9. Everybody says he had 20 sacks on the Bears last year. Only 9 came from the defensive line.
Right.
It had to be the lowest of all of the NFL. And you improved maybe, hopefully, by those second-round draft picks. But that's what I'm thinking. That's why I think they're going to be around 6-7 wins, because these games are going to be 30-something to 20-something. Hopefully that the offense proves that they can score.
Yeah, and you also got to hope that you hit on a couple of draft picks there. Appreciate the call, Joey. If you want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. Listen, defensive line is still an issue on this team. Yeah. I know you went out and drafted a couple guys. You made a couple signings in the offseason. But the defensive line is still something that needs to be shored up. It's part of why I was in the camp that I wanted a defensive lineman with that first pick that the Bears made, because I think you have a future piece on the offensive line in Braxton Jones, and maybe even a couple more with Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis on that offensive line. You have future pieces in your wide receiver room. Before the draft, the Bears had no future pieces on that defensive line. And that's part of why I was a big advocate of go out and try to draft the best defensive player available when on the defensive line, whether it was an interior guy or an edge rusher.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I was team defensive line. Obviously, that wasn't the pick, though.
And when you look at this depth chart, I mean, it's, you don't have to look far. It doesn't take a genius to tell you that edge rusher is the kind of final big hole on this depth chart. Ryan Poles will tell you as much. By the way, Ryan Poles will be on ESPN 1000 tomorrow with Black and Abdallah in for Green at 11:20. Looking forward to hearing that.
Yes.
But yeah, obviously the question of edge rusher, I imagine, is going to come up and how the Bears are planning to address that. There are names out there, Yannick Ngakoue, Frank Clark, Leonard Floyd, still some free agents out there who could do that. But I think what we've seen in the way that this team drafted, and they're going the Matt Eberflus route of let's generate pressure from the interior of our defensive line. Mm-hmm. They think they can do it at defensive tackle. They seem to think they can do it with, respectfully, some bargain bin pieces. So we'll see, but I mean, they're going to address edge, whether it's a Band-Aid or a legitimate long-term option. There's no way they're not going to go into this
I think it's hard
season
to find
without an edge.
A legit long-term option
at
this
point.
Yeah,
I mean, point, you're not picking up Micah Parsons.
Right.
But
or making any sort of trade, I'd imagine.
They will make a move, and maybe Yannick Ngakoue can prove that he's got some in the tank, and or a guy like that can come in and prove they've got some left, and you end up getting a long-ish term option. You're not getting Micah Parsons. You're not getting, you know, the elite guy that's going to come and overhaul the defense. But I think that they're showing us they believe they can get this done through the interior and through Eberflus's scheme.
312-332-3776. Tio's in Elgin. What's up, Tio?
Hey, Tyler. Hey, Jay. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
So I don't know about the schedule. I'm excited for the LA game, because I grew up in Mexico, so most of my family are Charger fans. So as you know, you guys, are you excited for that game? Because there's not a lot of Charger fans, and we can take over that stadium.
Yeah. No, that's a great point there, Tio, and something that we have not mentioned yet either, and appreciate the phone call there. Like, that is going to be a home game for the Bears.
Yeah.
Because nobody goes to that game. I believe the Rams have, like, some sort of hold on tickets there, too. But, yeah, it is not a like, you always hear people talk about when there are big traveling fan bases, and the Bears are certainly one of them, right?
Yeah.
But you also have...
I mean, we saw what they did in Dallas a year ago.
Right. I was just going to bring up Dallas is another one. The Patriots, when they played it at SoFi a couple years ago, that was a home game for the Patriots there. Like, you look at all of these teams that sort of invade SoFi, and it feels like a home game. And who knows? Maybe that's why the Chargers have underperformed a little bit over the last couple of years from a win-loss perspective, because they don't have a true home field advantage, and Bears fans can maybe turn that thing orange and blue.
Frankly, it's both teams in L.A.
Yeah,
I'm young enough to remember Matthew Stafford doing a silent count in the NFC Championship game, which was in L.A. Mm-hmm. So, like, that... It's just a stadium where there aren't... L.A. doesn't have football fans.
Right.
And it's hard to create those fans right away.
Fans in general out there. But
it's about Laker fans. Maybe not football fans.
Are there a lot of Laker fans out there? I don't even know.
Maybe they're just celebrities.
Yeah.
But I think the Chargers game is exciting. One, because it's a primetime game. Two, because it'll be a Bears invasion. And three, it's Herbert versus Fields. Yeah. That could be, you know, if Fields...
Sunday Night Football, too.
If Fields takes that step, if he becomes one of these guys, and I gave you the odds the last segment, where there's only six quarterbacks in football who are tracking ahead of Justin Fields in the MVP odds. If he becomes that, a top seven quarterback in football, I mean, this Herbert-Fields matchup, that's not just electric in Chicago. That's electric all across the country.
No doubt about that. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on in. The Bears schedule is out. We're breaking it down with you, and we will talk with Courtney Cronin, our Bears reporter, coming up next. This is ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Schedule is live, and we are breaking it down here on Bears Weekly Overtime. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling hanging out with you after hours up until 10 o'clock here on ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears. And now we check in with our Bears reporter, Courtney Cronin. She joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Courtney, good evening to you. This is a little later than usual when we get to hear from you on the station.
Double C!
Yeah. So, God, there he is. No, wait, that's just Shay. I forgot. Sorry, I got so triggered there. I thought that was Cap. Schedule release day. It's an exciting time because we now get to book our Marriott. Like, for sports writers, yep, we're looking towards what... I mean, hell, I'm thrilled. Tampa Bay and Kansas City in back-to-back weeks. I'm eating shrimp and I'm eating barbecue early in the season. Like, what is not to like? I'm thinking selfishly about this first before the football. And they have a really good schedule for road games this year, and nine of them at that.
No doubt about that. You know, there's a couple, I think, of underrated trips on here for someone like yourself who gets to travel to all these games. You brought up Tampa and Kansas City out of the chute, but I think the better stretch may be at L.A. and then at New Orleans in the October-November window right there.
Yeah, I think if you're a Bears fan, like, looking at the schedule tonight, trying to think about, okay, where are you going to spend your money? Like, what's a good weekend trip? Of course, week nine in New Orleans, November in New Orleans, the weather's perfect. It's cold here anyways. And that team, you're going to see Derek Carr for the first time in a defense that still has some question marks. You might be thinking, hey, maybe that's a win that the Bears can squeak out in the Superdome, which, if you haven't been, is one of the best places to watch a game in the NFL. It's loud, it's rowdy, you're footsteps away from Bourbon Street. Like, there really isn't much to not like about that. But the LA trip too, back-to-back road games there, I mean, that's a really tough stretch though. Great for the fans, tough for the Bears, because you've got four road games sandwiched in between that Carolina Thursday night game with the Chargers and New Orleans on the road, and then Carolina in week 10, week 11, 12 at Detroit, at Minnesota. So if you're not feeling like a trip in the Midwest, I would say the October 29th Halloween weekend game in Los Angeles or the New Orleans game November 5th would be right up your alley.
Well, Tyler and I have been talking a lot, Courtney, about that week 8 to 12 stretch and how brutal that is with four out of the five games on the road and against pretty decent competition, the Chargers, Saints, Lions, Vikings. Is that the part of the schedule that sticks out the most to you?
Yeah, that defines it, I think, because we'll know. I mean, by the halfway point, you're going to know, hey, is it clicking for Justin Fields? Is the year three jump what the Bears imagined it to be, what the expectation around this team and this quarterback taking the next step, or is he still trying to figure it out? Because you could get humbled pretty quickly in that stretch. That's a really tough, you know, and especially the fact that the bye week is not until week 13 again, like identical buys what they had last year. So you've got to battle through all of that just before you get to having the majority of your games at home for the final 5 weeks of the season. So I think if you look at the stretch there, you know, there's some tough games early too. I mean, Kansas City on the road in week 3, you have to face Justin Herbert at his place, the Chargers game week 8, and of course Deshaun Watson. Well, week 15. I mean, that's not easy where you're facing like some of the top quarterbacks in the league on the road this season.
Well, it's Justin Herbert at his place, but Courtney, we know Bears fans are going to make that Bears fans place that night.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think so. I think the reason they get so many games, I know, of course, that the market size, so many primetime games, the market size absolutely factors in here. It's, you know, the number three market in the country, but it's a national fan base. And I think the Tampa game, like just considering the last time they played down there, like how many Bears fans were there for the day that they played against Tom Brady, and I believe that was a win for Chicago the last time. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of opportunities, I think, where you're going to end up seeing more Bears fans than potentially fans of the home team. The Chargers, Shay, a perfect one. I remember I was there at SoFi Stadium back in 2021 when I was covering the Vikings, and I can't really remember a whole lot of light blue. I remember seeing a lot of purple, though. Good trip for people to travel to.
Courtney Cronin with us here on Bears Weekly Overtime, along with Tyler Aki and Shane Norling. So you brought up that stretch in the middle there, Courtney, and how that's a real test for Justin Fields. But I think one of the other intriguing things with this schedule is sort of the on-ramp for Justin Fields. When you open up the schedule, kind of get that second year under Getsy right out of training camp in the preseason, what do you make of the first handful of games where Justin Fields is going to try to ease his way into the season?
Well, I think opening up against Green Bay at home, they're already 2.5-point favorites. I know it's 4 months out, but it is interesting, and it will be interesting to see how the line may shift on that. You know, they've had Green Bay in the home opener three of the last five seasons since 2018. And to get that confidence under your belt, just like they did last year, and I know that it didn't really translate to much beating San Francisco, but going into week two, that was a confident bunch that thought, hey, maybe there is something here, despite the fact that everybody thinks we're going to be terrible, and they ended up actually being terrible. I remember seeing a really confident team going to Green Bay when they were trying to figure it out. Now you've got Justin Fields, who has the upper hand in the quarterback matchup between himself and Jordan Love, who this is his second career start. We know there's going to be a lot of Packer fans down here. We know the rivalry and what exists, but this is the first time that it looks different since all of our lifetimes back in 1991. That was the last time. I mean, that's the 1990, the last time we saw somebody other than Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. So I think there's a chance to even the series a little bit, and maybe for Chicago to snap that 8-game winning streak that Green Bay has over the Bears and start off on a good foot. But, you know, Tampa Bay week 2, that's a team that's very clearly in the midst of a rebuild. We know how we feel about the Super Bowl champions, so yeah. We don't have to, you know, talk about that one too much. But Denver, you know, what do they look like 4 weeks in with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson? Are we starting to see things click, or is it still looking like a train wreck because of the quarterback like it did last year? So, I mean, I actually think it's a pretty favorable 4-week stretch for them to open up, just knowing that you're going to have you know, your work more than cut out for you against the best quarterback of our generation in week three.
Yeah, and I think if you look beyond those first four games, all you really need to do is go 2-2, and you're kind of in business, because then you get Washington, Minnesota, and Vegas, and Washington and Vegas in particular, two teams that aren't expected to be great. And then, Courtney, I know we like the week 8 to 12 stretch is tough, and it's probably going to go poorly for the Bears, but then you get the bye, and you come back in these final five games. You get the Lions at home off the bye, and then four teams that really might not be good in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Arizona, Atlanta, and Green Bay. You kind of have that runway where even if things go poorly weeks 8 to 12, you could be in the graphic and playing meaningful football in December.
I think that's the reason that the over-under right now is set at 7.5. And we've talked about this. The ceiling for this team, the floor and the ceiling's kind of right around the same spot, if you're thinking realistically, somewhere between 7 and 8 wins. And you can find them. You can find them on the schedule. I remember last year it was more difficult because there were just so many unknowns about what this offense was going to look like without pieces around the quarterback. Now you have those pieces, and you can also see the pieces that the other teams don't have. Arizona, by that point, you know, I know it's Christmas Eve. Is Kyler Murray even going to be playing? Because he should, in theory, be back by then, but are they just going to let him sit out the whole year?
Right, they might have won two games.
It's probably a Christmas Call of Duty coming out,
Atlanta,
too.
Atlanta with Desmond Ridder, we don't know what he's going to look like at quarterback. He hasn't, you know, he wasn't their starter last year. I think that it's actually fairly favorable the way that they open the season and the way that they end it. You're right, Shay, though. It's just that middle stretch that could very well tip things not in their favor and have them playing catch up in the early part of December going into the end of the season.
So, Courtney, sometimes the NFL tells you what they really think about you as a team based on when the schedule comes out. Do you feel like the NFL told a story of what they think of the 2023 Chicago Bears with the way the schedule got laid out?
I do, for a number of reasons. I think that we're always going to see the Bears be primetime darlings. Like, again, market size matters. Last year, they had three primetime games. They had the Thursday night game, they had the Sunday night game, and they had the Monday night game. Like, they're always, like, going to have the primetime games that some teams don't. Detroit didn't have any until last week 18 when they got flexed into Sunday night football. I think what really stands out to me, though, are those 3:25 p.m. starts, where we don't know yet if it'll be the A-team, the A-crew on Fox, but those are nationally televised broadcasts in the afternoon window, the late afternoon window of NFL games. The fact that there's three of those, Green Bay in week one, Kansas City, and then I believe it's the the Atlanta game week 17, I think that's more telling to me than any of the primetime games, because you expect that. The Bears are a national brand. They're one of the oldest franchises in the NFL. It's the same thing with like a team like the Giants. But the amount of Fox games that they have in that late afternoon slate where they could be seen likely anywhere around the country, the brand is strong. And I think the intrigue around Justin Fields and whether he's going to make this jump in year three is a big indicator behind why they have so many of those games.
Yeah, it's interesting. I noticed the same thing as you, and it's kind of this whole division, I think, has become interesting. It may not be great yet, but when you have the Lions kicking off the season, which is still crazy to think about, in Kansas City, that's the NFL telling you, you're not ass. We think you're pretty good if we're going to put you on the kickoff game. And then the Bears, you mentioned it, getting really seven nationally televised games. And then if you look at it in December, I see two obvious flex candidates with the Lions and Green Bay, and maybe another one even with Cleveland. This team could be all over the place nationally.
Yeah, and this is the first year that they can have two Thursday night games. So I know some teams hate that, you know, most do, but like it actually works out okay in their favor because they're not coming off, you know, they'll have time in between both. So, of course, the New Orleans to Carolina at home week 9 to 10, that's going to be a short turnaround. But they will have then 10 days off between Carolina at home on Thursday Night Football and then going to Detroit to start that road stretch, to continue that road stretch in week 11. And then the Washington game before that on Thursday Night Football, you're, again, on a short week from Denver at home, which will be a noon kickoff, into Washington on Thursday Night Football. And then you have the 10 days before Minnesota at home. So it's always going to be a short turnaround from Sunday to Thursday, but I think the Bears being a guinea pig for the two Thursday night games, they're trying to, again, this factors into like the idea that Fields has a lot of intrigue around him. Thursday night football games were awful last year. We remember how bad that Washington game was where, you know, it was, I don't even want to talk about it. It was so bad. But
Tyler and I pre-show were talking about it was Colts and Broncos when it sounded like Al Michaels was going to mutiny his way off the broadcast.
They're trying to prevent those games from happening. So clearly they see something with the Bears putting them on Thursday night football twice that they believe that those are going to be actually watchable games, unlike what we saw Chicago play in with the opponent they played in last year, which is Washington, and now they have to go to Virginia to play in that game.
Courtney, any last sort of note or nugget that you've got from the schedule that you want to share?
I actually think they're going to win a couple divisional games. I know it's not really like groundbreaking, but this team was 0-6 in the NFC North last year. You have Green Bay to start the season. I think the early season game against Minnesota, outside of like the last couple years, the Vikings haven't played great down at Soldier Field. So you'd like to think that you can get them early before they hit their stride and they're still trying to figure out what this new defense looks like. They are still where he left off last season in the 13-3 year. I think they split. I think they go 500 in division play this year, which isn't groundbreaking, but for this team that didn't win a single NFC North game last year, it's a step in the right direction.
Awesome. Appreciate the time, Courtney, and we will be checking out all your coverage and all your breakdown of the NFL schedule.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Courtney.
Courtney Cronin on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. All right, when we come back, Shay, we will take any of your Bears calls that you got for us, 312-332-3776, and you have your power rankings. You've power ranked all 32 teams. This is what happens when you let snoring out after dark. Yeah. We'll do all that when we come back here. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling, Bears Weekly Overtime on your new home for the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Tyler Aki and Shay Norling with you on Bears Weekly Overtime. The NFL schedule is out. All 32 teams know the exact slates. I'm sure Expedia is very, very busy right now, a high traffic website right now with all these fans going out and trying to make all of their arrangements. We'll do a little bit of a travel guide, too. Yeah. A little bit later on in the show. Let's call that, what do you want to do, 9:30 on that?
We'll do that,
9:30. And a little win-loss as well with you coming up at 9 o'clock. But Snorling, you have, I mean, you were studious. You were hard at work. You coming into the office today. You already have logged a long day on Cap and Jay Hood this morning. And you worked with Jesse, too, so that's even more work that you had to do there. And now you come in fully prepared, and you have your NFL power rank. 32 teams, NFL power rankings?
My compendium. Yeah, the full 32-team power ranking. This is what happens, Tyler, when Mr. Football is let out of his cage.
This is what happens when you give Shay too much time and you let him take a nap. All right, let's hear it. What do we have here? What are we working
How
with
How do
here?
We want to run through this? I'm not going to run through 32 teams.
Give us some notables. Give us your top 10.
Number one is fairly obvious. They have the best quarterback. They just won the Super Bowl. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I don't think there's going to be any debate. Number two is where things might start to get interesting.
Oh.
You would think it's Philadelphia, the runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
I believe are the second-best team
in
football.
Team AFC.
With the second-best quarterback in football in Joe Burrow. Three is Philadelphia. With Jalen Hurts. We'll see if he can repeat what he was able to do a year ago. Interesting thing with Philadelphia. If you want to find a way to poke a hole, they lost both their coordinators. I think probably you level up losing Jonathan Gannon because, yikes, that defense. But you almost certainly regress losing Shane Steichen, who seemed to be the brain behind the Eagles offense, taking them to that Super Bowl. At number four, the San Francisco 49ers. I know there's the big question mark at quarterback, but God, that roster, that head coach, everything about that organization, they just figure out ways to get it done. Shanahan has shown us you could roll anybody out at quarterback. They'll get the job
except
done.
Except Josh Johnson.
Listen, all right, maybe not anybody. At five, the Buffalo Bills, who have some work to do to rebuild the reputation. They started last year's Snorlings power rankings. Buffalo was number one almost the entire season. And then the playoff debacle happened where Leslie Frazier decided to remove his brain from his cranium and not run a successful defense. They got bombed out of the playoffs. Buffalo's got to fix the reputation. Josh Allen, red zone turnovers can't happen anymore. Number six. Embrace debate. The Detroit Lions are the number six team in the National Football League.
Can I get a lion roar from you?
No, I'm not going to do a lion roar. It's not my team. I didn't grow up caring about them. I'm embracing them a little bit. It's cool to see them actually be respectable. I was surprised that the Detroit Lions came in at number six. There's not a lot of opinion in this. This is my number system.
Yeah.
This is my number system. I print these out. The number seven team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number eight, maybe a little lower or a little higher than people would expect, the New York Jets. And I think that actually might be high. I feel like that could end up coming down quite a bit. To me, they could be a third-place team in that division if things go well for Miami.
Okay.
Number nine, Jake Cantu's Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, boy.
And number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. That rounds out the top 10.
All right.
I will tell you, the Chicago Bears, for me, currently, 21st.
21st. Okay. Now, do these have win-loss attached? No, these have point values attached.
I have point values for betting spreads, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would the Bears' point value be at?
The Bears, for me, against an average team, would be a one-point underdog on a neutral field.
Okay.
So if you have, like, Bears-Steelers, Bears would be about a one-point underdog on a neutral field.
Okay.
Bears-Chiefs, you're probably looking at, like, 8.5, 9.
Now, I ask you this because this is a team that, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, a team that people are intrigued by heading into the season. So I'm just going to fire a couple teams at you.
Yeah.
And I want to know where they're at. The Carolina Panthers, who the Bears own their first round pick. Where are the Panthers on Snorlings' official power rankings?
Bears are 21. The Panthers are 22.
So just one spot. Okay. All right. Where are the Minnesota Vikings?
The Minnesota Vikings are 17th.
So four spots ahead of your Chicago Bears. And the rest of the NFC North, to round it out, where are the Green Bay Packers?
You have Detroit 6. You have Minnesota 17, Chicago 21, Green Bay 25.
Green Bay 25. All right, so what would the Bears be versus the Packers on a neutral field?
I would have it at about 1.5. The Bears would be favored.
All right, so the Bears are home, and we do have a line, an official line. We heard Courtney talk about it earlier. She said 2.5. It actually has moved a little bit since then. The Bears are a one-point favorite on FanDuel Sportsbook at this moment. A one-point favorite for opening week against the Green Bay Packers. So, effectively a pick 'em there. But I think that is also telling you that on a neutral field, they do think that Green Bay is slightly better than the Chicago Bears.
This is a great myth that I like to dispel sometimes, because it used to be home field be worth 2.5, 3 points. Mm-hmm. You're lucky if it's worth 0.5 anymore.
Really?
There are places.
I've heard it's like 1, 1.5 now.
Kansas City might get you 1, 1.5. Seattle might get you 1, 1.5. By and large, across the league, it's about 0.5, if anything.
All right, so there are Snorlings' official early schedule release power rankings.
By the way, the other team people are curious about, and my team, New England.
No one cares.
23.
No one asked.
23 for the New England Patriots. How the mighty have fallen.
Oh, boy. All right. Enjoy your Brady celebration later on this season.
Yeah. How about that? They're going to celebrate Tom Brady before the Eagles stomp them out of their own place 41-7. Wonderful. Yep.
All right. When we come back, I talked a little bit about this with Courtney, too. The story of the Bears, what they told you, and the primetime games. I want to get into a little bit more of a deeper discussion with these primetime games that the Bears have set up for this upcoming season. I think it's kind of interesting to see the way that the NFL may be looking at the Chicago Bears heading into this season. We'll do all that when we return here. Tyler Aki and Shane Norling, we are in for Bears Weekly Overtime with you until 10 o'clock here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Weekly Overtime here on ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling, we're taking all your calls and talking Bears and NFL and schedule with you until 10 o'clock tonight right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can watch the show as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also, you can catch us on YouTube. Go to youtube.com, search ESPN Chicago. Be sure to subscribe there as well. You'll get all these awesome other videos and content that we do right on our YouTube channel, youtube.com, search ESPN Chicago, and hit that subscribe button. All right, so the Bears have four primetime games, but I think it's also interesting, too, when you look at the 325s, because this is a Bears team that did not have a single 325 game last year. And I think the 325 starts say something about your team. That's an amplified, it's not quite prime time, but it's that America's game of the week that you get. You get Burkhardt and Greg Olsen, or you get Romo and Nance. Like, it's got a big feel to it. And the Bears have a handful of those this year. They open the season against the Packers at home. That is a confirmed Burkhardt and Olsen game.
Yeah, you imagine Bears-Packers is going to be America's game of the
week. Yes, and I think week three at Kansas City, Bears-Chiefs, a 325 start. That is a game of the week that you're looking at there. I don't think and again, these networks are all drafting, and they've all started to lose the affiliation to the conferences.
Yeah.
That's part of the new scheduling agreement here this season. Fox isn't picking up Patrick Mahomes. And again, you may look at some of these and be like, oh, it's game of the week because of the opponent. Sure, that's certainly possible. But you are not picking up Patrick Mahomes and not making it the game of the week.
Yeah, you're not going to put the Chiefs on a regional broadcast if you have them at 325. The noon slate, I get. But if they're playing the 325 game and you're bringing in the Chicago market and Patrick Mahomes, you're getting the game of the week.
And then the last one that they have is at home against the Arizona Cardinals, who knows what the state of the Cardinals is going to be by the time you do get all the way down the way to week 16. Who knows, is Kyler Murray going to be in that lineup at that point or not? But I think one of the other things you have to remember in that slot as well is you've got a trio of Christmas Day games as well on that Monday. So you're going to have three Christmas games, and you know the NFL is going to pump things up for Christmas Day and take some of the good matchups there, which they did, at least some of the big-time matchups.
Oh, you get Giants-Eagles, Chiefs-Raiders,
and Niners-Ravens as your nightcap there. So those are some good games, some good primetime matchups. So sure, 325, maybe you don't take as much away there for a primetime game, but I still think it is notable that the Bears have four true primetime games when you talk about the two Thursday night games, one at Washington, the other at home against Carolina. Then you've got a Sunday night game, which is the true cream of the crop there. You want to log as many Sunday nights because that really shows you what the NFL thinks of you. They've got that on the road against the Chargers, and then they also have the Monday nighter on week 12 leading into the bye against the Minnesota Vikings on the road there. I think the NFL says this Bears team is interesting, which is something that you really couldn't say for the most part last year about this Bears team. But this year, I think the NFL said this Bears team is interesting and we want eyeballs on them here in 2023.
I think everybody kind of sees the way, like, obviously it's the market size that plays into it. Courtney told us as much, the market size, the national fan base. But I think the league and everybody kind of sees the way Bowles is building this team. They're going to protect Justin Fields. They've gone out and gotten a wide receiver in DJ Moore that should open up the passing game a little bit for the Bears, which automatically makes you more exciting to watch. If it, and again, Fields also has the skill set of the Lamar Jackson type, where he can make things really entertaining. He can create with his legs. That's something people like to see as well.
We haven't seen a Bears player on social media as much as Justin Fields ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, every week there was a highlight play that got tweeted out, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. The NFL sees Justin Fields as one of the vehicles that they want. They are hoping he becomes a star. Because if he becomes a star, the league is in really good hands quarterback-wise with some of these young guys.
He's a TikTok quarterback, and I do not mean that as an insult. He was making so many plays, and the way that he was going viral, the way that national media talked about him, I remember seeing he's the only guy in the league that could do this, or we've heard a lot this week. I think it was Kyle Long said he was the most fun player to watch last season, and that included Patrick Mahomes. But it's this idea of you have this young kid who showed us flashes of brilliance, and now you have a bit of a team around him where if things go right, and I'll mention it again, there are only six quarterbacks in the league that are ahead of Justin Fields in the MVP odds. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's Mahomes, it's Burrow, it's Allen, it's Hurts, it's Herbert, and it's Lamar, and then it's Justin Fields. That's what the betting markets, that's what the national fan bases, that's what the NFL is telling you that they think of your quarterback. That's the ceiling and the potential for Justin Fields. So if that's what he reaches, they're going to want these games on as many televisions as they can possibly get them on, because you're selling the future of the league here.
Right.
This, if he is what we hope he is, if he can be this, and it's outer space to me that we're talking about it, but this MVP caliber guy.
Forget that, though. Like, if he can be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback,
if he can get into the conversation where we've had Justin Herbert, where we've had Trevor Lawrence, you know, where we've had guys like Deshaun Watson in the past, if he can get into that level of conversation, then you're talking about him being in that Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Hurts, these guys who have the future of the league in their hands. The Chicago Bears having that quarterback for the first time ever would be the league's dream. And I think that's why we're seeing all of these primetime games, because if that happens, eyeballs need to be on it.
And that's the thing is, like, you bring up the first time ever that the Bears could have one of these guys. Like, there is no player in the NFL, in my opinion, that the league is rooting for more than Justin Fields, because you've got market size, you've got a starved franchise, you've got the charter franchise. Yeah. All of this coupled together right here, that is what the league is rooting for. That is what this league needs. If they can elevate Justin Fields to be this mega star in their league, boy, and you put him in the echelon of a Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, all those guys, Jalen Hurts, if you can get him in there, because this Chicago fan base, they're going to rally around it. Like, you can talk about market size, and I think market size is important, but I also think that you have to take into context as well fandom. Like, the Bears fandom, even though it's a smaller market size than the LA teams, the Bears fan base is bigger than the LA teams. It may be bigger than the LA teams combined.
It is, right? Certainly, yeah.
So you talk about a guy that you want to elevate. I think the franchises that the NFL cares about in elevating, the New York teams, the Bears, Philly, and the Patriots. Those are ones where if those go right and you have those fan bases rallying around those and you can turn those guys into national brands, you're cooking with something.
Yeah, and I think when you think about jersey sales even, because we see now, and you brought up the TikTok and the social media aspect of this, if you're a kid and you're just getting the clips and the highlights and you're watching your
fantasy
team and all of it,
too.
Yeah, fantasy. If Fields is that guy, that's going to skyrocket just in terms of jersey sales, in terms of people trying to watch these games. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the story that they're telling you when you look at this, and really the bookend of Packers games too, they are rooting for Justin Fields to be that guy. Like, there's nothing to me the NFL wants more. The first thing I thought when I saw Packers Bears as the regular season finale in Lambeau, nothing the NFL wants more than to flex that into Sunday night.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be their absolute dream. That's what they're rooting for. That's what they're rooting for up in New York. So 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the Bears conversation we're having here. We're hanging out with you for another hour after dark here. Tyler Rocky, Shane Norling, Bears Weekly Overtime. When we come back, we will get into the win-loss game. We haven't played yet. We've been holding off, but we will get to that when we come back here on ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.